Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the final hour of the program, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Brian Weber with you, in for Jim. Just one more guest along the way. We have tried to make it as straightforward for the maximum amount of interaction with only two guests. Hour number one featured an NBA conversation with Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report in 40 minutes. More NBA playoff analysis when we say hello to Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. If you want to be a part of the show in a remaining 60 minutes with a more leisurely pace, no more TV, that means anything can happen. 1-800-636-8686. Tweets have been good. Let's keep it going. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Emails, RomeAndHaveATake.com. In 20 minutes, we'll do our daily double with the latest reminder of the joy of gambling. There's a reason why there are those big, glittering buildings in Las Vegas. And so many of you want to get down as much as you can. All the fallout from that incredible Kentucky Derby. Plus, down goes Canelo. We'll get into that upset and what's coming up in the broken sport of boxing. But the NBA is dominating the program, and it should. And anytime I talk about TV ratings, I try to take a step back and remind you, unless you're in the industry, and I'm kind of in the industry. Now, I've been doing it for 30 years. I'm not trying to be self-deprecating, but I'm well aware of where I land in the hierarchy of sports, television, and radio. And I feel damn lucky to be making a living after 30 years and following what was my ambition as a kid. I probably should have dreamed bigger, but here we are. And on days like this, it's here especially meaningful because I'm in for the Hall of Famer and a show I've listened to on a daily basis for a quarter century. And stop tweeting at me, I do not know where Jim is. I know there was a reference because Jim is so open with you last week about a possibility of jury duty. I'm not sure. So, Marty, if you're listening, don't show up at every courthouse in Southern California and try to quiz the bailiff. Jim will be back when he's available. And even if I did know, which I don't because I'm the fill-in guy, and believe me, if we're talking about a need-to-know basis, nobody needs to know less than Uncle B. Webb. Even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you. But I don't know. But I know this much. If you are fixated on TV ratings, unless you work for a network, a streaming platform, or an ad agency, unless you're Don Draper, the numbers aren't important. Doesn't impact your bottom line. However, they become a mainstream way of reflecting fan interest. So what happened to the notion that the woke NBA was going broke? That all the social justice was going to kill this league? If you bought that then, when the numbers were down, what's the explanation now that the numbers are up? And my point of view would be, had nothing to do with what was going on from a societal standpoint. The matchups weren't that compelling. If you go back to the NBA Finals last year, Milwaukee and Phoenix. Phoenix is a big town, but not dominant media markets. And I think the biggest tipping point this year has been, leading to the spike in the ratings, the return of the Warriors. Because when the history of the NBA is written for this period, and yes, I'm biased, it's Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. Hop aboard at 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Always good for the fill-in hack to read his or her resume. But years ago, when I was a Doogie Howser of broadcasting, somebody put me on television in the San Francisco Bay Area when I was 23 years old and wound up being the sideline reporter for the Golden State Warriors. I remember when they were the Clippers of Northern California, Siberia in the NBA, after Sprewell, Choke Carlissimo, and everything went to hell. And for that franchise to have the transformation the way they have behind Steph Curry, greatest shooter we've ever seen, paired with Klay Thompson, not only has changed the way basketball is played in the NBA, which is all about the three now, and I think that's a huge dilemma for the Grizzlies, especially if there's no Ja Morant tonight. And I think at this point we have to presume he's not going to play, although we didn't know if Embiid was going to come back for Philadelphia. And we'll talk about how his return has changed everything with that series between the Sixers and the Heat now tied at two apiece. But let's say no Morant. That means, even though the Grizzlies had a winning record when Ja was hurt earlier this year, they're going to be even more three-point reliant. Not just what's going on across the NBA, every level of basketball, the Warriors made the three cool. So it's become a cultural shift in the sport, coupled with the analytics crowd. I got into broadcasting because I was told there would be no math involved. I got a 39 out of 100 on a statistics midterm in grad school when the median or the mean or whatever the hell that is was 82. Easy test. I'm not good at math. But now the data-driven analysis runs professional sports. The math guys tell you, just keep chucking up those threes. Because you make enough of them, the deficit, the disparity between what you're missing, had you made twos, works out in the long term. I don't even know what I said, but you get the point there, right? There's value in trying as many threes as you can. So the Warriors changed everything throughout the entire sport, in part because Steph Curry was the most relatable superstar of my lifetime. Now, you could say Muggsy Bogues. Kids wanted to be Muggsy. I get her. Spud Webb, when Spud went off in the slam dunk competition. But those were almost novelty acts. In the wrestling parlance, when Andre the Giant would show up in the territories, that was an attraction. Andre, if we're going to go down the wrestling road, should have been undefeated, because if wrestling had any truth to it, don't tell me it's fake, at 1-800-636-8686, who's beating the Giant? Unless he wanted to jump into Hulk Hogan's hands, and you know what happened at WrestleMania 3. Steph Curry, though, was someone that kids could relate to because they looked at him and said, hey, he's about my height. And he's not strong, it appears. Strong enough to survived the rigors of an 82-game season, although more injuries creeping in, especially this year. Beyond the likability and the smile, there was relatability. And kids get their parents to spend money, and they then grow up and become TV consumers. So that's why the ratings are up. The Warriors are back, and it looks like the Warriors are on the brink of booking a spot in the Western Conference Finals. And they can do it economically, especially if Ja does not play tonight. Warriors hoping that the Phoenix Suns pick the wrong motto. Remember all the talk, and it came from Devin Booker, about this being the revenge tour. They're out for blood. How many Steven Seagal titles can I come up with here? This time they mean business. Well, who are they seeking revenge from? Because I was filling in for Jim during the NBA Finals last year. I distinctly remember the Suns having a 2-0 series lead and not winning another game the rest of the NBA Finals. Who are they taking that out on? How about themselves? If they're looking for payback, if they're looking for retribution, look in the mirror. Because it appears, at least for now, they are going down that same path with the Dallas Mavericks prior to even getting back to the Western Conference Finals. Now, if we're just talking about the Chris Paul developments as of late, and let's start with what we know about the incident yesterday in Dallas. And the investigation continues. But if the allegations that a fan, and I don't care how young or diminutive on a big word Monday the person in question was, if a fan of any age put his or her hands on a member of Chris Paul's family, that fan should be banned for life. I know it's hard to enforce, but the principle matters. You lose your ability to attend a professional sporting event if you touch a member of an athlete's family. And it shouldn't take the fill-in guy on the radio to tell you, don't put your hands on anybody. But I think when we view things through the prism of how fans are reacting now, not only pro sports, but every level of competition, social media, the toxicity of what's happening with technology extends into real life. And yeah, people who feel emboldened because they say ridiculous things as anonymous eggs with no consequences. So that's an important takeaway. I don't want to yada, yada, yada past. A full investigation has to happen. And if the facts are accurate, whomever got involved physically with a member of Chris Paul's family should be banned from NBA arenas for life. As for Chris Paul, where is his game gone?
For life.
And if you're just looking to connect the dots, you say, okay, he had another birthday that's now 37, candles on the cake as of the end of last week. What's happened since? Had a boatload of turnovers on Friday and then had the worst playoff game of his career yesterday. Some of that might have been ticky-tack foul calls. Some of that might have been Monty Williams losing his mind. I don't know why Chris Paul was on the floor after he had picked up his third foul. I realize different accommodations are made for superstars, but the reason you always take a player off the court when he has three fouls is what happened. That weird foul in which it looked like Paul had been blocked and he picked up the offensive foul and suddenly everything changes as he's got four and on the brink of being thrown out or DQing himself from the game. Finished the game with more fouls, six, than points, five. So moving forward, given that Chris Paul has help, arguably, if you're just looking at the numbers, and remember, Klay Thompson was hurt, and it's taken a while to round into form, Paul and Booker are the best statistical backcourt in all of basketball, and Booker did his thing with 35 points. DeAndre Ayton is an amazing big man, and let's pay him. Robert Sarver's got a lot of problems off the court. Find your checkbook and pay a big man who was instrumental in making your run to the NBA Finals last year. They paid a lot of other guys on that roster. Write the check for Ayton. I think the Suns are going to be okay because Dallas is still too one-dimensional, although it was interesting to see what happened when Luka got in some foul trouble and the ball moved much more freely. And you had the complimentary players like Davis Bertans knocking down threes. And Dorian Finney-Smith. It sounds like a name from a Charles Dickens novel or somebody who's committed a crime. We only use the middle name when someone is an assassin, right? Dorian Finney-Smith had 24 points. He couldn't miss. So for the Luka needs help crowd out there, I just gave you two key contributors. You know what Jalen Brunson has done this year, and Spencer Dinwiddie can knock down shots as well. Still, Phoenix is the better team, but the key takeaway moving forward, Suns now at least need six games, and let's say it goes seven. I think Golden State's going to take care of Memphis quickly, especially if there's no Ja Morant, and that means more rest for the elder statesman. The big three for the Warriors in Draymond and Steph and Klay Thompson, who look like Klay again on Saturday, plus not only the ability for them to be rejuvenated, but to combine their playoff experience with the athleticism of Jordan Poole, with the renaissance we've seen from Wiggins. I don't care what the view from Las Vegas is necessarily, with more gambling talk on the way. Feels like, to me, the Warriors are the team to beat. Coming up, as we continue in this final hour of the program, when we bring in Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com, we'll get into the details of what went down last night in Philadelphia. James Harden finally showed up with 31 points. Finally. How much of that was a byproduct of what Joel Embiid was able to do in the paint? And we'll play the what-if game. What if Joel Embiid had been healthy for the first two games of the series? What if he hadn't gotten hurt again with a fluky concussion after celebrating a meaningless basket with Philadelphia up by over 20 against Toronto? We'll get into all that when we say hello to Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com coming up in 25 minutes. Straight ahead, though, since I feel like I'm in the sports book, we're talking a lot of gambling. Where's Big Head Betts? He would not slum with a guest host. James only performs when James Rome is in the chair. We're going to kick around a couple things that reminded us on Saturday of the joy of gambling. And, of course, horse racing is a sport of kings. And Jim Rome is the king of horse racing. So I'll let him handle the analysis of the Derby when he gets back. But it was a race for the ages. Plus, coming off his upset loss, what does the future hold for Canelo Alvarez? And we'll put it together. In many ways, is boxing the new horse racing? That's on the way. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car and your budget. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Good thing we're not on TV, because an old man is shaking his head and the XR4 Ti is mocking. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You know, as you get older,
Street
there should
cash,
be a degree
homie for Marshall
of self-awareness. I was never hip, even when I had a window to be hip. Now, the way I spun it was, I have these responsibilities and opportunities, and people are letting me yell into a microphone when I look like I'm 14 and I sound like I'm 9. So that could be framed as maturity, but you got to know who you are, and I've never been anything close to cool. And part of that patois, on a big word, Monday, is the inability to dance at all. The old overbite and the bobbing of the head. But yes, we were going back to the old days, and since Garrett Ritt thankfully is off the board and the show now is moving forward much more smoothly with the great Alvin DeLauro pushing the buttons. We were talking about the old days of many versions of the Brian Weber Show being canceled on many different platforms, among them fill-in host KNBR 1050, which carries this program. I hope we're on right now in the San Francisco Bay Area. Because I thought I was cool, Friday Night Just Got Paid, Johnny Kemp was my anthem on Friday night.
Cash, homie, for
Straight Cash Homie, yes. As I would venture to say that I would wander around the streets of San Francisco waiting to be recognized or someone to come up with, hey, aren't you on the radio? And sadly, I spent a lot of time by myself. But that's more than you need to know. In 15 minutes, back to the NBA. We'll get you fully lined up for the games coming up tonight. Is Jason Tatum going to show up for Boston after he disappeared entirely over the weekend, with Boston effectively needing the must-win to come together? I know it's not must-win until it's elimination game. You understand the logic there. Plus, Golden State absolutely annihilated Memphis on Saturday. And it appears, although not official, Ja Morant will not play with the knee injury. Covered all with Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Up next, we're talking Derby and one of the greatest upsets in the history of boxing, as Canelo Alvarez was stunned on Saturday night. First, a little bit more interaction. Final dose of tweets as we go long form here. Let's see. Local hero. Hey, B-Web. Jimmy Haslam Tell Jimmy Haslam to bring Baker into our shop and we'll see what we can do. Signed, Rick Harrison and Chumley, the dudes from Pawn Stars. And since I'm on CBS Sports Radio, every time I hear Pawn Stars, I think of Jim Nance reading very slowly when he asked to do the cross promotion for True TV. So as he's sitting next to Bill Raftery and Grant Hill, Jim is handed the card and he'll say, and after the game, stay tuned for another edition of Long Pause, 1001, 1002, Pawn Stars here on True TV. Jeff in Green Bay, if you ever needed a fill-in host for yourself, could only mean one thing. McRibs are back, only for a limited time. Finally, Clubber Lang tuned in for the substitute teacher and have not been disappointed. A rare compliment. Webbs, thanks for letting the clones do their thing. War Amish rake fights. I'm Ron Burgundy. They hand it to me and I read it. Huge tweets brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop on by. So, with Jim enjoying the day off, I will not steal his thunder because I am not a horse racing expert. Secondly, nobody knows the sport of kings better than the king of smack. Jungle racing, a huge topic on the program. I will just acknowledge what I took away from Rich Strike winning the Kentucky Derby, because like the rest of you, I pay attention to a maximum of three races, if we have the possibility for Triple Crown, and the minimum of two, based on whomever wins Churchill Downs. I'll check out what's going on at the Preakness, and then if we don't have a shot at Triple Crown, I jump off. But with Rich Strike coming through, 80-1 odds, a reminder the horse wasn't added to the field until Friday, and then when you had the glorious scene after the race of biting the other horses, it was phenomenal television, a remarkable call. That is the hardest job in our sport. Those guys, and some women, who were able to call the play-by-play at the track of the horses, not only have the amazing recognition, and that's years and years and years of practice and unique skill set and muscle memory, but the inflection and the building of the drama, it is something to behold. But as I watched that, I was having flashbacks to some of my misspent youth, the two Utes in the New York tri-state area, with my degenerate Uncle Mike, who refused to buy a color TV because it was too expensive, late 70s, early 80s. So in lieu of the Sony Trinitron he could have got out, Uncle Mike decided to have three black and white TVs in various rooms of his one-bedroom apartment. That was Uncle Mike. Uncle Mike wouldn't go back to Yankee Stadium after they moved the fences in because in his mind it was no longer the house that Ruth built. That was Uncle Mike. And Uncle Mike was a degenerate gambler. Now, as we talk about the sports implications of all the gambling money out there and it becoming much more mainstream, and if you want to bet, I'm all for it. It's a huge part of our industry now. Bet responsibly, of course. You have no conception if you're 20, 25, other than what you saw in Goodfellas and every other portrayal, stereotypically, of that life and this thing of ours, what it was like to actually be around gambling in a different time, when you had a couple options. You had the bookie as the go-to for the sports that mattered. But if you really wanted to live out every moment of being just a stereotype of the worst things that gambling has to offer, you have to hang around the track. And for Uncle Mike, it wasn't just Aqueduct. We would never go to Belmont. That was too expensive. It was the Trotters at Yonkers Raceway. You have not lived until you've hung out on a cold night with the Trotters rolling by in the cart. Hang on, that they call a spider. And even as a kid, I knew it was rigged because just like in every movie you've seen, right, Easy Money with Rodney Dangerfield and Joe Pesci, the dude would pull up on the reins and magically, Uncle Mike did not cash his ticket. But as I was watching what was going on, at the Kentucky Derby, and just great theater. And thinking about all the people that came up with an incredible long shot, and we know they're guessing. And then you put it together with what occurred on Saturday night in Las Vegas. Canelo Alvarez was a massive favorite, and I did my best to try to find out some details on a fellow that we're going to know if you still care about boxing, and Dimitri Bivol. He was a huge underdog. Yeah, he was undefeated, but he fought largely tomato cans, and it was a setup to get Canelo through that fight unscathed to get to another fight with Triple G. Yes, let's get to the good old trilogy, even though Triple G is 40 years old, and now the money will still be made because it'll be Canelo and Bivol, part deux. This time it matters. But my takeaways from both of those events come down to this. A, it reminds us, whatever your wager was, of why so many of you love gambling so much, because you don't know what's going to happen. And if you bet a few bucks and you cash an 80-1 ticket or whatever odds you got on Bivol, you feel like the smartest person in the world. I get it. And life is hard. Most of life is so predictable. What'd you do today? You got up probably at the same time, probably had the same breakfast, probably took the same route to work, and we'll do the same thing coming home. Reason we love sports, even though it can become bogged down with too many hot takes and too many games and the influx of politics and whatever you want to push back on, the fundamental reason we love sports comes down to this. We don't know the outcome. It is drama without a script. The dopey sports I call, although I enjoy them, that's dopey in air quotes because I'm trying to be self-deprecating. I don't know what's going to happen if I'm calling a softball game or a college basketball game or a tennis match, and that's the fundamental appeal. Life becomes monotonous, mundane, repetitive, especially as you get older. Every time you turn on a sporting event, you know what's going to happen. It reminds you of a different time in your life where maybe you were happier or had more optimism. The second thing that came to mind was the connection between where boxing is and where horse racing has been for decades. Because even though now Bivol came up with that monumental upset and we have the rematch, if I was going to take phone calls and an Insta poll, and I don't do that lame kind of radio, how many marquee boxers could you even name that you care about on any level, to any degree? And again, I'm not trying to be the old man yelling at the clouds, because when I grew up, it was the era of the super fight, and I have to go through all the fights you know. It was a radically different outlook within the sport. What changed? More money to be made in football, basketball, and baseball. Boxing has always been an economic opportunity, especially for people with disadvantaged backgrounds. How many fighters, I'm of Irish descent, were Irish Pat, whomever, O'Flanagan, fighting his way out of a tenement. The same thing for people who had to deal with the poverty of inner cities. Well, if you're a phenomenal athlete now, do you want to get punched in the face, or do you want to go play baseball and pitch every fifth day and make $100 million guaranteed? But the parallel I'm seeing now with boxing and horse racing, and I won't even give you the history lesson post-World War II when boxing and horse racing were as popular as baseball, top three sports. As I mentioned, I do this for a living. And just to be transparent, I enjoy going to the track, but maybe I'm having scars of my time with Uncle Mike, and I need to call a therapist and just have a good time at Del Mar this summer. Horse racing does very little for me. But it's my job, and I know a lot of you care, so I pay attention to a degree. But a maximum of 3 days, maybe the Breeders' Cup. So let's call it 4 days a year, max, I'm following the sport of kings. Well, how many days a year now do any of us pay attention to boxing? Canelo fights virtually every Cinco de Mayo weekend. Tyson Fury, I guess, if he's fighting again. And he will, because the money's out there. We've gotten to an era in which we're looking at YouTubers. Jake Paul has more name recognition than most of the talented fighters out there that 30 years ago. I won't go a half century ago, but 3 decades ago would have been on network TV and we would have cared about. So maybe I'm reaching here. Maybe I'm looking for a way of putting a nice period at the end of the sentence, but that's what occurred to me. The latest reminder of why we love gambling so much, why it was banned for centuries, because people lose the ability to pay their mortgage, but it's up to you now. And secondly, two great sports that have been marginalized, but when they're good, they're damn good. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Maybe time for a couple more tweets before we say goodbye. You can tweet at me after the program. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Straight ahead, we wrap it up with more NBA talk. What should we expect from Chris Paul, the point god, according to Chris and his team out there? What should we expect from CP3 the rest of the series against Dallas? Now that's even at 2 games apiece. Looking forward to our conversation with Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. First, it's time for a sports update. Rich Ackerman has all the headlines. I'm Brian Weber, having a great time with you, in for Jim Rome. Conversation never stops on Twitter, so you can tweet at me after the program. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Let's continue our NBA analysis. Bring in a good friend of the program, one of the best in the business. It's Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Kurt, it has been a while since we chatted. How are you?
I'm doing well, Brian. It's good to hear your voice, man.
Well, and likewise, I'm glad you were available. So let's get into the fallout from what happened last night in Philadelphia. And I read all of your insightful articles on NBCSports.com. And you're not a hot take guy, but you're factual. And you were documenting what appeared to be the rapid demise of James Harden right before our very eyes. It looked like he was the reverse Benjamin Button, getting older and heavier every time we saw him on the floor. Last night he had 31 points, so who is the real James Harden moving forward?
Yeah, Houston James Harden showed up for a night. It's amazing what Joel Embiid can do on the floor. The thing is, I don't believe Harden can create space the way he used to. He can't just drive by guys a la Houston anymore, certainly not consistently or solid defenders. But you can't really do that the same way with Embiid out there. Like, Embiid just forces them to have defenders in other places. They can't be up on Harden quite the same way. He gets a little bit of space. And look, he's still a super high IQ player. He is still a guy who can pick you apart with passes, take the shot when it's there, and the shot was falling last night. You know, we'll see if he can do that again, but he did it for both games that Harden's been back. I mean, he played well in game three. He had a great game four. I think Miami's the one that's in more trouble in that series with Kyle Lowry out, man.
Yeah, great point. That's, he's been banged up, although Miami has incredible depth. Let's shift our attention to the Suns and Mavs. Suddenly now, that series getting a lot more intriguing at all square at two apiece. How much do you want to attribute the change to Chris Paul having all those turnovers on Friday and having more fouls than points yesterday, or the emergence of more than just Luka, because Dorian Finney-Smith, whoever he is, couldn't miss yesterday?
And then they had the big Brunson game the game before. I mean, Luka needed more help, but I think the biggest change is the first thing you mentioned. Chris Paul struggled, and let's, by the way, give Dallas their credit here. This is a top 10 defensive team. They were far more physical starting in game three. They were in the space that belonged to Chris Paul. Chris Paul just kind of got to his spaces and did what he wanted the first couple games and did it pretty casually. And if you let Chris Paul have space, man, he's a surgeon. He'll just carve you up. They didn't let that happen in the next 2 games. And then you see the turnovers. He's not getting the same help. And I'm getting really curious. I think that Phoenix still can win the series, but we're going to need to see a little more from Chris Paul, and we're going to need to see them to find – Monty Williams has got to drop some stuff to get him some space and then get the ball over to Booker and everybody else, because Dallas' defense got a lot better. And they've still got Luka, man. They've still got Luka who can just go win them a game in this series, and that's always a threat.
Talking Hoops with Kurt Heelan. Check out his stellar work on NBCSports.com. We'll find out as we get closer to tip time the official status of Ja Morant. Right now, doubtful. We know he's been injured in the past. If he doesn't play, that changes everything for Memphis. Yeah. But let's go back to the actual incident. Do you think Jordan Poole broke the code? Was it a dirty play when he grabbed Ja's knee?
No, I don't think so. This wasn't the Dylan Brooks thing. He was reaching for the ball and didn't get it, and everybody's kind of moving around, and he certainly grabbed his knee, but I don't think it was an intentional play. We watch it super slow-mo, and he's like, oh, look at him grabbing the knee. But you watch it in real time, it looks like he's jabbing for the ball, and he misses. It doesn't strike me as something intentional, and I'm a cynic. I saw Ja land funny on a closeout and jump around earlier in the game. Like, I'm not sure that it was one play.
I agree with you. I said the same thing an hour ago. Yeah, I think we're now all trying to break down the film like the Zapruder film, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that they would love the idea of that. By the way, it'd be great for them if Jordan Poole got suspended for a game. I honestly think that was more the gameplay. I do hope that part of that is that Morant's out there tonight, because if Morant's not out there, I mean, look, you're going to lose the last game anyway, because that's the tough part of beating the Warriors in a series, right? They're going to win one or two games in that series by just being so stupid good on offense, there's nothing you can do. And you've got to win the rest of them. But if they don't have Ja tonight, they go down 3-1. As much as I like Memphis, I don't see how they get out of that.
Yeah, I think it's over as well. Kurt, how important was it that Klay Thompson looked like vintage Klay Thompson on Saturday night? Felt like he's still trying to play his way back into form after all the injuries.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes they're obvious questions. Back to you, Kurt.
Yeah, no, it's 2 years with multiple major leg injuries. It's going to take a little while for him to find that form again to be, and he's still not all NBA defense, lockdown guy that he was, but you're right. He started to look better and better over time and with a little more space out there in the last game. So as he gets better through the playoffs, that just makes them better. And that three guard lineup, I don't think Memphis is the team. There might be teams out there that can expose that three guard lineup, but I like it. What are we calling it? Pool party lineup or whatever we're naming it. Like, I like that three guard lineup. I think it's really tough to defend.
Nice with the tie-in with the Splash Brothers and the whole aquatic theme. Kurt Heelan covers the NBA for NBCSports.com. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let me ask a more straightforward question without the preface, getting set for Milwaukee and Boston tonight. After an absolutely disappearing act that we saw from Jason Tatum on Saturday, how much confidence do you have he'll rebound tonight?
I'm fairly confident. I mean, that's an elite defense with the Bucks, and they've got long, athletic defenders out there that will make their life difficult. But he's just got to be better. I mean, at the end of the day, we can discuss Marcus Smart's shot and the physicality in that series and everything else. If Giannis scores 42 and Tatum scores 10, Celtics are going to lose every time. It's that simple. Giannis had the breakout game. They've got to find a way to slow him a little bit. Tatum's got to be the guy who ended up on a lot of MVP. It might be top five MVP voting this year. Like, they need that Tatum tonight. If they don't, you can't. Much like the last series we were discussing, you can't go down 3-1. If you're down 3-1 to the Bucks, it's over. They're too good to lose three in a row.
Kurt, great information as always. I appreciate you taking the time. I hope we have a chance to chat when Jim takes his annual summer vacation about the excitement that is NBA free agency. Enjoy the games tonight, my friend.
I will. Take care, Brian. Be good.
Kurt Heelan and I have been chatting on the radio for a long time. That's why I was comfortable with him saying, yeah, hello, dummy. Sometimes I have to point out things to try to get more conversation from the analyst, as if, but I'll put my ego aside to make that the huge call. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Alvin, do we have the breaking news sounder? Dun dun dun! I'll just do it verbally. Dun dun dun! This just in, Jim Rome will be hosting the program tomorrow. Oh, play them all, Alvy. Scrivens has an answer.
Scrivens has an
My
answer.
My time in the chair is over.
The bank
just
is
that
open
quickly.
On a Saturday.
Carrasco goes
She's
deep.
Got it again.
Just that quickly.
And it's over just that quickly. Scrivens has an answer.
Carrasco goes deep. Straight cash, homie, from the bank is open on a Saturday.
That's a reaction from the audience. And that call with that elongated Saturday actually occurred on Pac-12 Network. I know I'm annoying a lot. I was just riffing and saying, is anyone listening to this? And apparently they were not because no one said, hey, you might want to back off the Saturday.
Saturday.
Enunciation is important. So Jim is back tomorrow. That means I have 2 minutes to get the 3 hours of content that I had mapped out with the possibility of being back. Instead, we're going to have a nice, nice radio. Direct conclusion to the program.
Time
to answer your Ask the Pros question. Were you the clones? Get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it's an ATP,
Saturday.
Who else? Bella B.
They're all buttholes out there. They
I
really
wish there
are.
Were some T's in there I could hit. Bella B. in Calgary. Hi, Brian. Have you ever in your lifetime called the talk show with a take? 13 years old, I called Dave Sims in New York City, and I had strong opinions about my New York Knickerbockers. Franchise Dave, I won't do the impersonation, it was several octaves higher, but I was a very nervous young man, and Dave was kind and held my hand metaphorically and got through it. So yes, that was the first time I called and the last time I called. Thank you so much, because if you think like a caller, you're going to be a caller. Thanks to Jim Rome, who's back tomorrow, Craig Kitchen, Spike Eskin, David Miranak, all the great people at CBS Sports Radio, XR4TI, Tom was phenomenal, Alvin, the best in the business, Garrett, passable as always. Jim Rome is back tomorrow. Great news, and I'll talk to you down the road on CBS Sports Radio.